Thank you, Papa Joe. Thank you, Pastor Happy, for a powerful word today. Thank you, Lord, for the music team doing a wonderful job this morning. Hallelujah. Good morning, church. How's everybody? Yes, we know. Very fine. We can see that. Hallelujah. Well, welcome to our second service this morning. This morning I spoke this morning directing the word especially to the children, the young people, and I know you adults can receive that word as well, but I'm speaking mainly to the young people, and I believe that God has this word that is for the young people. Young people, don't think that your life is over and you're going to be raptured and that's the end of your life. Hallelujah. God has a plan and a purpose for a church. And his accomplishment is not finished yet until he's finished with you. Amen. He said he will finish the good work that he has started in your life. This word is for the young people, but it is also for you this morning, that you're present this morning. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your encouragement. God, your word is everlasting, the everlasting power. Lord, your word guides us, Lamb, unto our feet. Thank you, God, that every word that comes from your mouth, every word that comes from your word, oh God, from your lip, that is inside of us, Father, that we become people that are people of obedience to your word, that we obey your word by applying it into our lives, by seeing and taking on instructions that you've given us, Lord, in our days and our walk with you. Father, we give you praise. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you speak to your people this morning. Thank you, God, you hide me, that they don't see me or hear me, but they hear your voice. They hear your word, oh God. Jesus, you said, let him who have ears hear. And I pray that they will hear with the Spirit. Father, that their spiritual ears and eyes are open this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Well, this morning I spoke about a wonderful purpose of our lives. And some of us, we're living in a season now that most of us think that just because we're at the end of the season or in the season of the end times, that we just have to hang around and wait to go somewhere. Let me just bring some wonderful presentation and powerful principles to you. The Bible said, and my message this morning is actually based on the scripture. Jesus actually spoke the words of Jesus. I love the words of Jesus because his word is power to everything that we do in life. And he said, nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours be done. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus made a statement that is a statement that you and I must always take into account every day of our walk. Amen? Hallelujah. Because it took one man to stand firm his true calling in God. It's one man that stood in the midst of unbelief against him. One man that stood against misunderstanding against him. One man that stood against planned attacks against his life. One man that finally went to the cross and died for our sins. One man. Take a multitude of people. One man who understand his vision. One man who understand purpose in God, why he was born, why he was to live, lived and died, fulfilling every purpose that God has given him. One man did that. One man who believed in his calling. One man who understands his purpose. Hallelujah. And this is the reason why I'm bringing this word to you this morning, because this is something that God continues to speak to me about. That every time I listen to the words that come from Christians, are we just waiting to be raptured away? Listen to me. We are not here to expect rapture. We know it's coming. We know all these things that the Bible has already told us about. But it is not for us to be focusing on those things, because the mission that Jesus has given us still hasn't been complete. This is Mission Sunday today. That's why I'm talking like this. This is our Mission Sunday, first Sunday of the month. And it is also our 10th anniversary as a church. Church is now 10 years old, hallelujah. Young church, in terms of the years that we live in. But it is also our seventh year of the years we've been in this building. That is why I believe that in this church, because you believe in your calling, God, individual person sitting here today, have a calling in God. Believe that. You understand that. That's why you're here. And when you come together to bring your gift and your purpose in life to the church, God begins to fulfill mandate on earth. Amen? Therefore, I believe that it takes one church, take many churches, create something. You have to understand. We have to believe that there is a purpose for our life that we have to achieve. Amen? And when we do that, God Himself will allow the favor to be upon the church to be able to create. Hallelujah. When the people of God are in one mind, one spirit, in one accord, it is a recipe for revival. When we're in one mind, one spirit, I sense that in prayer every time I come for prayer, something is starting to happen inside the church. It took 10 years for the revelation to sit inside of people and power of prayer. Never had it's full like this. Now we're having people coming for prayer. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And I see that changes. That's why I get excited about what God is doing. I believe in my calling. And so should you. Must believe in you. You must believe in why you're here right now. That is why you have your life. And you have to understand your life and understand why you're still here. You are not here to experience rapture. You are not here to experience all this stuff that's happening around you. That's not your calling. Hallelujah. Some of the greatest, if you look at the Olympic or the athletic team, God, as it operates exactly like that. The team has a fast runner in the beginning of the race, and the fast runner at the end of the race. In the middle, it's not to worry about that. But it's the person that starts off the race, the person that finishes off the race. You and I are in the season of the finish. We are finishing the race for those who have gone before us. Apostle Paul, Peter, John, all the apostles, Jesus, those guys started the race. Hallelujah. And started the greatest move ever, the kingdom of God, established the kingdom. That's why you and I are not here today to just be hanging around waiting for rapture. Somebody say amen to that. You still hear that from me every time. You are here, still here, because the commission that Jesus gave to the disciples hasn't been completed yet. You are still here because God believes in your purpose. God believes in everything that you are created to be. Hallelujah. I pray for the children today because I believe that they're not just born to be raptured with you. They're not just be born to just end their life at age 6 and 7 and 10. No, they have a greatest purpose in God. That's why they're breathing today. And I prayed and anointed them this morning. And I'm going to do it for the children that are here this morning. Hallelujah. Jeremiah chapter 29. Listen to this verse. Very powerful verse. 29 verse 11. You all know that. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to what? Prosper you. Not to rapture you. Plans to not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future." You have a future in God. Even though we live in a season that is of the end times, even though we know that we are at the edge of the end times, you still have a future in God. Hallelujah. You don't live your life to just fly away somewhere. You don't live your life to be waiting for rapture. Every Christian's waiting for that. What happened to the commission that Christ gave us? This is Mission Sunday, and I'm talking this like this now. God is a God of purpose. Nothing He creates has no meaning. Everything is created for a reason, including the maggots that eat the body when they die, the mosquitoes that annoy you every night, the fly that sit on your food, the cockroaches that you always shriek and jump out from. All these things have a purpose in God. Created them for something. Everything exists to come or to accomplish a part of God's ultimate plan. Amen? Hallelujah. God created everything with an assignment. There is an assignment that you have that you were born to accomplish. God created every generation with a portion of His ultimate purpose. Not only did He assign everything to fulfill His purpose, He assigns every generation. That's why I believe in the baby that's born tomorrow. That's why I believe in the baby that's in the mother's womb right now. That's why I believe in those who are now in high school and those who are completing high school. I believe those kids or those generation have something for the generation to come. Hallelujah. We got to believe that. We got to stop waiting to be doing something and looking at the future and forget about what's happening around us and those who are actually around us, which is our children. Hallelujah. That is why it is important to know that the generation you are in, it is important that you are part of something greater in God. There's a move of God coming. Before all this stuff's going to happen, God's going to make one final assault on the earth to harvest the souls into the kingdom of God before the coming of Christ. That's going to happen. And your children and those who are born are going to be involved in the greatest move of God ever. Not just you and I, but our children will be involved in it. I have seen children involved in the move of God. God using those kids to do some amazing things that I have never seen ever in my life. I thought, my goodness, God, if you can, I look forward to the day all these children. Hallelujah. There is something we are supposed to do. That's why we are alive today. It is connected to those who are unborn. There's an unborn generation at the coming. You and I have to accomplish our mandate in God so that we don't deny them the right to be able to achieve or be a blessing in the thing that you started in God. There's something God wanted done. The Bible says in Acts chapter 7 in verse 28, it says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." Hallelujah. In other words, in him we live, we move around, do our activities, even our own existence, and it's for his own purpose, his own will. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all that shall be added." Let's put the formula right. So we are not just here to pay bills and pay mortgages and, you know, put our kids through school and live our life and live a comfortable life and have all the blessing. The blessing that comes to us, that's God's toward. God blesses the righteous and God blesses also the unrighteous. Those who are working hard and following the principles get blessed. Hallelujah. So the blessing comes for those who are actually seeking after the righteousness of God. So we are not here to just pay bills and finish a mortgage and do all this, put food on the plate. We are here for something greater. We're here because there is something in this space of time that you and I are in, hallelujah, we're supposed to accomplish. You have to think like that. Start thinking like that. God will start with the tools to be able to use. Hallelujah. The good works or the gifts that he's already given you, he will see it to fruit. Why? Because his will has to be accomplished. Bible says, God is not your will, but his will be done on earth. Jesus understood. He didn't come to fulfill his will. He fulfilled God's will and fulfilled everything. That's why they couldn't remove his identity. They called him everything else except Christ, the Son of the Living God. Hallelujah. Until Peter stood up and said, "You are Christ, Son of the Living God." And Jesus said, "You got it. Now I can go, because now you have the revelation. Now you can go and finish the work that I started." Hallelujah. When you understand God's assignment for your life, that's all you want. Yes, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 says, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens." Hallelujah. Guess whose season it is? Your season. My season. Our season. Of those who are sitting right here going to school. Season of those who are about to be born. Hallelujah. That's the season for them. Hallelujah. And that is the reason why we must understand that you have the right to exist on planet Earth. You are here. There's something he has sent you to do and accomplish and finish your story. That's something that we have to understand. When we are in the mission for God, we must complete everything that God has purposed for us. For every purpose, there is a time and a season, and your purpose creates the mission, which produces the vision that you see so that you read it. Joseph, when he saw the vision, nothing moved him. He saw that vision that he's going to become somebody, and that didn't move him. He lived for that vision. Hallelujah. And that's the kind of vision that we see. We don't see with our physical eyes. We see with the spiritual eyes, with our hearts and what God has given us to do. Hallelujah. Because your eyes, your physical eyes is corrupt. It'll see the facts of life and your faith starts to shake. Ah, what? Walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Worship a God that is what? Spirit. And those who worship him in truth and in spirit are the ones that will truly see the vision and what God has already planned for them. That's why a vision from God must never be self-centered. If you have a vision and it's self-centered, that's not from God. Hello, somebody. Hallelujah. Vision that God gives you, centered for others as well. Others have to be blessed and blessed. I said a prayer last week. I said, pray like this. Let me be an answer to someone's prayer. Your prayer should be, God, let me become an answer to somebody's prayer. Let me become a blessing in somebody's life. My prayer is always, God, bless me so I can become a blessing to others. Hallelujah. Whether it's in word or whether it's in material things or money or whatever that is. Whatever it is, let me become a blessing to other people. That's what your vision should be. Your vision never should be self-centered, but others-centered. Amen? When your vision is completed, then your mission is what? Accomplished. Everybody say amen. And you can be like those guys. Mission accomplished. Hallelujah. You can be like Paul. I have been what? Poured out like a drink offering. I have finished the race. I am ready to go. Amen. Amen, Mama Alice. Hallelujah. I believe God. I said something very, very strategic on prayer meeting. I said to the team, I said, you know when God wants to speak to the doctors and the nurses, when God's about to minister to those people in the hospital, he sends Mama Alice, Mama Julie, and Mama Pam, and all those of us who are elderly, our elders in the church, to go in there. Maybe a little bit of something wrong with them, but they go in there, they minister the word of God, they get healed, they come back out. Hallelujah. That is your purpose in God. When I said that, I got so encouraged. I said, God, use more people. When does elderly mothers go in there? The doctors get the gospel spread on, full on. Hallelujah. They're putting needles in their head and the gospel's coming out. Gospel's coming. Hallelujah. They take blood, everything, all the tests and everything. Doctors are getting their gospel right in the ears every time. And that's God's fulfilling his will and purpose in the lives of our elderly mothers. Hallelujah. When you are finish your mission, your vision is accomplished. That is why, church, we are outward focused. We are about to take on our crusades for next year. God is preparing us. I'm looking forward to that because it is time to take the gospel of Jesus Christ into the communities where they've been actually left alone to fend for themselves. There are pastors that we know that are struggling because there's no support. There's so many confusion. There's so many confusing gospels being preached. So we need to bring the truth of God into the places. But find the remnant. One of the things that God showed me is he said, I have prepared a remnant like yours. Those who think like you, those who have the heart like you, those who have the passion like you, that I have prepared somebody like that. The word he spoke to Elijah, but he said, this is what he said to me. And I thought, wow. And listen to me. Are the remnant that God prepared. Many of you sitting in this building today are the remnant that God prepared. Stand with me, and stand with the leadership, and stand with the pastors, not just the pastors, but stand with us. Move the gospel of Jesus. The places where they've never heard the truth. Bring some fundamental principles of the kingdom of God. Because the church age has shifted and the kingdom age is beginning. And we have to start thinking kingdom more than just the church. Hallelujah. So you can see the full cycle. God's purpose becomes a mission for you. That mission becomes or produces a vision that you see. And when you complete the vision, you complete what? The mission that God has given. Hallelujah. And when you fulfill the mission, then you have fulfilled God's purpose. God's will. Hallelujah. God's response to you. Friend, completion of your mission is this. Well done. Good and faithful. Why faithful? Because many give up halfway. Faithful. Good and faithful means it is possible to quit in the middle of an assignment. I've seen people quit serving God. I said, how are you? Throw in the towel and quit. Hallelujah. I know, because the Holy Spirit is not involved. If the Holy Ghost is not involved in it, we'll burn ourselves out very much. God is not satisfied or not pleased with with us. God is looking for those who are faithful. Hallelujah. And so in this church, you'll hear me say all the time, it is the place where we must have high impact people and high impact and low maintenance. Not high maintenance, low impact. Your life has to be high impact. Impact others around you. Impact those that you minister to. Impact those that you are befriending or just being friends to. Your life has to impact. Hallelujah. Your maintenance has to be low. Hallelujah. Because God, the Holy Spirit, is the one that will drive you through having that low maintenance, focusing on God all the time. There are people that have been wanting to destroy this church by their words and things like that have said, but this church has lasted 10 years. This is the 10th anniversary. Hallelujah. But we've had people throwing stones at pastors, you know, slandering pastors, and get it all the time. You guys don't see it. Get it all the time. We had phone calls and text messages, things like that. They're amazing how people can just throw stones at pastors. So 10 years we've survived, and God is going to preserve this church to accomplish the vision that he's given this church. I believe that. The changing of the guards doesn't mean we relax. There's a changing of the guards where pastors are going to be changed and new brand of Joshua generation coming in. Take on the last move of God into the end of the day. Hallelujah. So be prepared for this thing and understand why children are born and living today. I thank God that I have Barnabas that are around us today. Barnabas are pillars of the church. Stand strong, church, and they encourage those who need encouragement. Pastors need encouragement. Leaders need encouragement. Most of us need encouragement from you. Become the Barnabas for us. Saying to us, keep going, Pastor, we pray for you. Hallelujah. Watching over you, praying for you. That's what we need so that we can continue to move forward and walking hand in hand together with you. Every visionary needs a Barnabas. All Barnabas are pillars standing on the Jesus Foundation, holding up the church. Vision and the mission. Making it to the end of the assignment is more important than the assignment itself, because there are many professional beginners and or finished. It's the assignment making it more important than just starting something. Everybody wants to plant a church, start a ministry, do something, but they never complete it. It's the completion of it that gives God glory. Hallelujah. God is looking for those who will start something and finish it. It's not just a church and everything in your life, whatever that you're doing, whatever that God has given you to do, whatever your boss has given you to do, whatever your teacher has given you to do, be a person that completes a mission. Hallelujah. When you start like that, then God will give you the assignments. It's a wonderful thing to remember. In other words, God will never abandon what he gave you birth to do. Everything that God has given you, he will never abandon it. He said, I will watch over our way to fulfill it. And he says, I will finish the good work that I have started in you. He will never abandon the good work that he started. The question is, are you going to abandon it? That's the question. The ball is in our courts to always remember. God is not going to give up on you. He's not going to give up on the things that he's given you, the gifts that he's given you. But the question is, are you going to give up on him? That's the question. And we live in a time and season now where many will give up. Many will give up and many will cross paths, change sides, and, oh, you know, I believe in something else now. And many will deny the Lord. Peter did that. If John the Baptist asks a question and says, are you the Messiah or should we wait for somebody else? Those men or powerful men of ministry ask questions like, how much more are you and I come face to face kind of persecution? Good sobering thought to have every day. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms, every blessing of Christ. That word has or had is past tense. It means that God has already supplied everything that you would need to your purpose. God has already given you all that. He says, He's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. Hallelujah. He's given it to us. But it's locked up in the heavenlies. It's on earth physically in us. But that's what Jesus said. I have given you the key of the kingdom of God. That whatever you what, bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. I'm not talking about binding devils. I'm talking about whatever you carry. If you're really somebody, if you forgive someone, you are forgiven in heaven. Everything that you do physically here, heaven unlocks it for you. Hallelujah. That's why when he says, I've given you all the spiritual blessings, that means you have it. You have it in you. You can start to operate in those gifts like that. And desire for it. Papa Joe and I have been talking about the gift of the Spirit. Now, every one of you sitting here has a gift. There's a gift in you that God requires to complete the mission that set for us. It's locked up. That means you have to begin to do what you were born to do so that you can activate the resources that was provided for you. God is not going to provide something for you. Sit around, wait for him. Or waiting for the right time. Or waiting for this, something to come by. No, no, no. You have to get up and start by. Because we people of faith, amen? You don't do things when you see it. You do things, you believe it. Believe it, and you go and do it, and then you see it. Hallelujah. That's the kind of people you and I are. So, believe by faith and not by what? Sight. Hallelujah. That's why God will not provide anything for you until you get up and go and do it. Go and start something, even without any idea where the money is going to come from. Go and start it, and you watch God come. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 4 tells you why. It says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be what? Holy and blameless in his sight. That's the first requirement of God. For anything that you want to do in ministry, just come and walk blameless before me. Everybody must come walk blameless before him. Righteousness and holiness are so crucial in our life because we have to represent God properly. I keep saying that. Where does the glory get revealed from? It reveals from you. You are the one who reveals his glory because you walk in holiness and righteousness for him. Hallelujah. When he chose you before the foundation of the earth. So God didn't just choose you lately. You were not chosen when your mother and your father thought about you. I love this. Jeremiah 1:5. Even before you were in mother's womb, I. That's a powerful statement. God already had you planned. Your future has already been planned. It's completed. You and I are just living a complete life. But we got to align ourselves with his word, his holiness, his righteousness, for us to really clearly see where our life goes. Amen? Hallelujah. God, as a matter of fact, they decided to have you because you were chosen. That's why I said to the young people this morning, doesn't matter where your parents, your mother, your father are like. Alcoholics, drugs, they've abused, they've done things to you. Remember, doesn't matter where you came. Thank them, bless them, and say, hey, look, thank you for bringing me into this world. Now I have to go and live God's purpose for me. That's the prayer that we pray for our children, that they must continue to live the purpose in God. Many of the children that we don't know come from broken marriages, destroyed families. But that doesn't mean that they're going to follow that. They can live a life fulfill God's purpose for them. God didn't call them. See, it doesn't where you came from. You came from a cave, born in a manger where the animals are. Does it make him poor? No. He achieved a vision that God has given him, achieved the purpose that he was born for. Same to all of us. Hallelujah. Everyone was given a gift. They don't come to church. They don't. They sleep in and they're drunk the other night and they don't come to church. Hey, get up, have a shower, brush your teeth, put your best clothes on and say, Dad, Mom, thank you for bringing me into this world. I'm going to church. I'm going to find my purpose in. When you do that, oh, hallelujah. Watch the power of God come in your life and start to transform you, start to open up doors for you that you've never seen before. Hallelujah. Go and live your purpose. Doesn't matter where you came from, doesn't matter where you were born. Doesn't matter what country you came from. Go and live your purpose. Hallelujah. We must fulfill the vision so that the mission will be accomplished. God's purpose will be fulfilled if you're a person that understands vision and when you will be steady as a... Hallelujah. What is it that you have that God wants? Your purpose will drive you to your destiny. That is when we place ourselves in the place of walking discipline. Papi talked about everything about righteousness and holiness, how to discipline. Discipline ourselves to be walking in it. Paul says, I've got to beat myself into what? To submission. To what? Submission to what? Submission to God's word. Self into submission to God's word. That. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21 says, many are the plans in a man's or person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Hallelujah. Plan your life now, but God already planned yours. Purpose for you will prevail. And go everywhere, everywhere until you find God's purpose, and then it prevails in your life. Psalm 57, verse 2 says, I will cry out to God Most High, God who performs all things. God gave you a purpose for your birth. And then he commits himself, listen, commits himself to fulfill it. He's not going to abandon. That's what Jesus said, I will be with you even to the end of the age. Hallelujah. I'm going to be with you. You go and fulfill your destiny, your calling in God. I will be with you. I will make sure that we finish it together. He commits himself to fulfill it for you. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends forth his love and his faithfulness. Hallelujah. Then he says, if anyone tries to stop you or get in your way or your purpose, hallelujah, he will stop them. He will rebuke them. Whenever you're born to do, God is going to protect you until you develop it and release it, complete it, and you can sing out Paul's song. I have been what? Poured out like a drink offering. I'm ready to go. Hallelujah. Psalm 138, verse 8. The Lord will perfect what that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. Your purpose, whatever it is so powerful, so important to God, that he will perfect it and protect it. You got to believe that. You got to believe that whatever God gives you, whatever that he has placed in your hands, whatever gift he's given you, ministry, job, work, whatever it is, he will protect it and he will perfect it and he will protect it so that you can complete your work in it. Hallelujah. Jesus did not quit on us. He never quit on us. He was born to die and he understood he was going to do that. That's why when he was in that garden of Gethsemane, prayed this prayer, talked to his father, and he says, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. He asked God, is there another way we can do this? Is there another way we can send somebody else to do this? Then he says, nevertheless, not my will, but yours done. That's a powerful statement. That word always strengthens me and encourages me to keep going. Because he never quit. He was in that garden, the blood pouring out like a sweat, like drops of blood on his head coming down. Never quit. Went through everything that he was purposed to do. Hallelujah. Accomplished it. Then handed the baton to us. Gave it to Paul, gave it to Peter, gave it to all the disciples. Now you take, run with it. Gave them the keys of authority. Gave them everything. Equip them and get them going and got heaven to back it up. Hallelujah. Heaven is backing you up in your ministry, in everything that you want to do in Christ, in your job, wherever you are. Heaven, hallelujah. The full Godhead of heaven backing you up in everything that you do. You tap into that place. You tap into that unknown, unseen place of the kingdom and draw down what God has already placed for you and use it in the ministry that God has given you. I'd like to close this message this morning by some wonderful principles, and it is really important for us to understand that. Jews are some of the most, in the Jewish culture, country of the nation of Israel. I pray for Israel every time. Get for prayer, and I always pray. The nation of Israel is a kingdom nation. And it is the very nation or the very prototype of the kingdom that Jesus wants every nation to be. Hallelujah. We've become a nation in the spirit. We connected the kingdom of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Become born again, born into this kingdom that Jesus talked about. Hallelujah. There is a principle that we must learn from the Bible that is so deeply embedded in the Jewish culture and something that you must study. If you study the Word of God, study it according to the context or the translations. In the story of Jacob, the old fellow, that in Genesis chapter 49, you can read it by yourself. It's a big story. But it's a story where Jacob actually blesses his sons. Jacob could have gathered up his sons and said a few words like, "Boys, I'm about to gather to my father in heaven. Bless you with everything. May God take care of you always. And please bury me with my ancestors up in the tombstone up there where they put all your ancestors." He could have said that. But the Bible shows us that Jacob started to bless his sons. This is an important principle, saying, "Reuben, this is your blessing." You can read it in verse in Genesis 49. "Simon, Simeon, this is your blessing. Judah, this is your blessing." In other words, Jacob was laying down a foundation of specialization. He was identifying the gifts of each son and identified in such a way that this is yours. Now go and live together and move the nation of Israel forward. That's really what the blessing was all about. You are not just one big clump of people. One of you is going to find the area in which you are best serve your brethren. First function the church. Hallelujah. That means each one of you find the area where you can best serve the church. Paul talked about that in... But each tribe was to have its own speciality, to become independent upon their brethren. For everything else, together they drive the nation of Israel forward. That's a kingdom principle. And the book of did that too. Moses did the same thing before ascending the mountain, and he did spend 29 verses blessing the individual tribes of Israel. He read it like some sort of historical event or something like that. But look at the principles behind it. Moses and Jacob's blessing were really unity in diversity. So each one that had a gift were all united together and functioning to bring the nation of Israel where it is right now. Hallelujah. The same principle was used by Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 12. I'll just read the scripture. It says, "I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." What manner? Manner that is worthy of the calling that you've called. What does it mean? Blameless and holy and righteous before. That's the first requirement. Then he started to list down the fruits which determines those manners. Verse 2, it says, "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Hallelujah. "There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and the Father of all, who is over all and through all in all." Hallelujah. What a word. Woo! That is a powerful statement. God, that's why Israel doesn't have any culture except the Word of God. You and I should never have any other culture except the kingdom of God. All your other culture, bad, chuck it out the window. Keep the good ones that aligns with the Word of God. The ones that you know that God has given you different cultures, some great, wonderful different cultures. There is there. Get rid of all the other stuff that worship the devil. Bring the ones that edifies the family, blesses the people, and align it with the Word of God, and bring that, hallelujah, and use that in the kingdom of God. So it is important for us to understand in verse 7, it says, "And grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men." What gifts? Exactly. The gifts that you are supposed to be using to fulfill your purpose in God on earth before you go. Hallelujah. Saying in verse 9, he says, he ascended. What does it mean? But that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Verse 11, and he gave the apostles, here we go, the prophets and the evangelists, the shepherds and the teachers, equip the saints for the work of the ministry for building up the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Families, friends, this is Vision Sunday, and it is a word for us to take on board today. But pray this prayer. Say, God, you have a calling for me. The very life that you're living now, ask God what he has that you can fulfill, to really fulfill the purpose or the gift or the vision that he has given you. Your skills and gifts, what God is wanting this morning. I pray that you surrender those gifts to him and ask him what the purpose of those gifts. Every one of you sitting today, identify those gifts that we can move on and move the church forward, including your children who are a part and puzzle of what God is about to do. The move of God that's coming, that's not going to exclude them. They're the ones that are going to be involved right in the middle. Hallelujah. You've never preached the gospel before. Holy Spirit will come over you, give you power, give you that unction, and be able to speak. And I've seen God use like that, and I thought, whoa, my goodness. God is going to use children like that, then I believe that the move that's coming is going to be so powerful that it will shock the world before the coming of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. God is going to unleash a move of God, a revival that is going to be a great harvest to harvest souls into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. God is gracious. Not allow those prostitutes and drunkards that are living sinfully to die in this. Give them a chance. That's the grace that he has given. The grace is given to them to be able to come into the kingdom. You and I have been given the grace, and we're here. But our job is not to use that grace completely to walk in sin. That's not our mandate. The mandate of the grace for God is to not to abuse it. Hallelujah. Because in our constitution, this word, it says in Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 28, it says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. Your gifts is not the one you're going to learn in university or colleges. Children, listen to me. Your gifts is not the one teaches. That's not you. Hallelujah. They can sack you from your job. Never sack your gifts. They can terminate you from your job, but they will never terminate you. Your gift is with you. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. It is powerful. People think, oh, you know, I've lost my job. No. Your gift is still with you. You can kick you out and you can get another job anyway using the same gift. Your gift is what God has already blessed you. Pray to God today. I'm going to pray it for the children. I'm going to pray for the children. Particularly, want them to understand. 2020 is not a bad year for them. COVID-19 is not the end of the world. God has a purpose for you. Yeah, that's why you're going to school. That's why you're alive and breathing and healthy. God has preserved you. Why? You've got a plan and a purpose. I want all the children to come. I'm going to pray with the children. But you mothers and fathers, please, uncles and aunties, stand up. Let's raise our hands towards the children. Let's pray for them because this is the word for them today. Come on, children. Aren't you at the front here? Come to the front. Come to the altar so we can pray with you. Oh, my boo is going to get double portion today. He's getting double portion. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Papa God, we thank you. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you today before I pray for you. I want you all to know this. 2020 is not a bad year for you. 2020 is a good year. I know that God allowed you to be here today, receive this prayer today, and to receive this blessing today, because he's going to use you. There is a move of God that's going to come. All of you, none of you will be exempt from that. All of you are going to be involved in this. God is going to raise up a new generation of John the Baptist, Joshua's, Moses, all these amazing men, Peter and Joshua and all these guys. God is going to raise the Esthers and all the amazing women in the Bible. God is going to use them. God is not finished with you yet. Just because 2020 is a different year for you, doesn't mean that it's going to be, it's going to be the end of the world. Don't listen to what the news is telling you. Don't listen to what your teachers are telling you. You are a different person according to how God sees you. Amen? Hallelujah. Don't believe anything anybody says about you except what God says about you. Go to the Bible. Read the Bible. And allow God to. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to anoint you with this oil because I believe that you are going to be part and parcel of the greatest move of God that's coming. Hallelujah. The waiting is finished. Time for waiting for that Bible is finished. Gonna know, we have to get into it. We have to walk into it. You guys, all you young people today, are part and parcel of that. Come. Father God, we thank you. Close your eyes. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to lift your hands before God today. Hallelujah. Don't look around. Just close your eyes. And I'm going to come pray for you. Hallelujah. Papa God, I thank you. Hallelujah. Father God, what a sight. Lord, I pray. And I release, oh God, the anointing. That same anointing that Elijah had. Same anointing that Moses and Joshua had. The same anointing that all your patriarchs. Those who have come before you and walked blameless before you. Father, I thank you that, Lord, these kids, these children's lives are never going to be like what their teachers expected them to be, what their parents expected them to be. But, Lord, their life will be according to how you purposed it and accepted it. Lord, I thank you. I pray that you will give them dreams and visions. I pray for the gift of interpretation of gifts, interpretation of dreams. I pray, God, I release the anointing to become prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers. Hallelujah. To complete the mission that you've given us. Father, we release that right now. By the power of the Holy Spirit. God, I thank you for these children. Thank you, Lord, that their faith is so pure. Their faith is ready to receive. And Father, I pray that you will protect and watch over the great work that you have started in their life. That they will accomplish the mission that you've given to us. Father, that they will continue the race, oh God. Father, even as young as they are, they will preach the gospel, hallelujah. They will speak the truth, oh God, that nothing, that no weapon that is formed against them shall prosper, and every tongue that rises up against them, Lord, they shall condemn, for it is the heritage, oh God, of the children of the kingdom of God. Father, I thank you. We pray that we release them right now, Father, over their lives. I thank you, God, that their spirit has received your word and receive your instructions, oh God. Father, we thank you. We just release that right now. And I pray your edge of protection around them. Father, whatever laws that have been propagating in this country, it will not affect these ones that are standing here before you. These are the ones that you have set aside, oh God, that you will use in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Let your anointing fall right now over their lives, oh God. Let your anointing impact them, oh God. Let it saturate over their lives, oh God. That Father, when they open their mouth to speak, oh God, they will speak the truth. That the truth will come. That the truth will set people free. Lord, because of those young ones that have so much pure faith, Lord, I thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory. In no other name but the mighty name, powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody agreed. All the uncles agreed. And all the aunties and all the mothers agreed and said, amen, hallelujah, amen. Your anointing over them, every man, woman, right here today. All the mothers and the fathers. Father, I pray that we will understand the season we're in. We understand the gift that you've given us, oh God. Lord, we will not be people that are waiting to be raptured. We are people that are waiting to move into the kingdom, move the kingdom forward, oh God, to expand and extend, oh God, the kingdom of God with the very time, with the gifts that you've given us. Father, I pray that each and every man, women and children will understand that. Lord, I pray and I thank you, Lord, for 10 years that you have kept us, 10 years that you've preserved us, 10 years that you've built us up, oh God. Thank you, Lord, that your grace, your mercy, your love and your goodness have been upon us throughout these years. I pray, Father, that you continue to guide us and lead us for another 20 years, another 30 years, whatever it is, whatever it takes, oh God. Lord, you only know the time and the timeline that we live. I pray and I bring this before your throne of grace. We thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Everybody agreed and said, Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Papa Joe.